Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Let's go to Vegas. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today is January the 30th, and we'll be talking about Las Vegas. We'll be talking about the Chinatowns in Las Vegas, and our article is called Finding Luck in Las Vegas. But today is fun. We have two Canadians on the show. We have nobody from Vegas, but I'd like to welcome Simon to the program.
Hello.
Simon, it's great to have you on the program.
It's good to be here.
Before we get into Las Vegas, let's just talk about Chinatown. And I know in many major cities in North America, also in some cities in Europe, they have Chinatowns. Now, what is your experience with the Chinatowns in Canada when you were living there?
So I suppose the first thing about Chinatowns that we should sort of acknowledge is that they kind of come from the history of kind of separateness, people from Asia being separate for whatever sort of reason, discrimination or, you know, being unique in terms of ethnicity, things like that. So you don't accidentally find yourself in Chinatown in like a city like Toronto or Vancouver. Mm-hmm. With Vancouver, you might a little more. It's
right.
A little more central.
Right.
But, so for example, I come from the part of Canada where Toronto is. I've never been to the Chinatown. It wasn't until I married, someone from the island and found myself on longer trips in Canada where I even discovered there were like Chinese markets. Because you just kind of overlook them. You know what I mean?
Right, right. But once you go looking for Chinese food or looking for Chinese supermarket.
Yeah, that's right. You become kind of more aware of it. So the only real interaction I've had with a proper Chinatown, that has that name, was in Vancouver.
Yeah, and how was the experience?
Well, we were saying just before on the air, your experience, our experiences were at exactly the same time, the same stretch of years.
Right.
But yours was negative. Mine was very positive.
Yeah, so explain.
I went down with, I sort of had a friend from my dorm who was ethnically Chinese, but like very far removed from immigration. Like his family had been in Canada for a really long time. And sort of we went down there. It might have even been around Chinese New Year.
Right.
But we just bought like, his family was originally from Hong Kong, so we got like Hong Kong sweet buns and stuff like that. Went to the Sun Yat-sen Garden. But it was, it has like the bustle of sort of any market in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
But, it seemed clean. It had private security, So it was like, it was a nice area. It wasn't anything like you see on TV where you see people like getting stabbed and disappearing like in historical dramas.
Right.
It was like a nice area.
Yeah. Right. That's so interesting. I guess we talked about right before we on the program. My experience with Vancouver's Chinatown is a little bit different. It wasn't as positive because Vancouver's Chinatown is right beside the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also an older part of town. It's not the newer part of the downtown. It's the older part of the downtown. Mm-hmm. And when I went, the Chinatown had not got revamped yet. I don't know if it has been revamped since I lived in Canada. And it was an older part of town, and I had a kind of bad experience where I was just like parked on the side of the road, and one of those, either somebody who was on drugs or who was alcoholic, passed and started swearing at me, swearing at me inside the car. And that made me a little bit, that made me quite afraid.
But it probably wasn't a Chinese person.
No, it wasn't Chinese.
Because, see,
it wasn't a Chinese
person.
You've
hit upon something here.
It was a white Canadian.
You've hit upon something here that's a unique feature of Vancouver. Like Chinatown is very close to the drug area.
Exactly. It's the location.
So I spent some more time working with charities in the drug area.
Right.
So to me, Chinatown was like,
we call that the east side, right?
East side.
Vancouver east side. Yeah.
It's actually kind of the north.
Yes.
But the east end of the road that it's on. But Chinatown's a few blocks kind of south of that.
Yeah, it's the location. It's not really Chinatown
per se, but
it's the location.
Like most of my time in that area of Vancouver was spent, working for nonprofit organizations in that bad area.
Right. Maybe you're so used
Chinatown,
to it by then.
Well, no, I would just say Chinatown was like an area of like stability that avoided most of that chaos. So it's, you know, it's a very positive switch when you move from the east side down into Chinatown.
Right.
Whereas if you move from Chinatown or from the suburbs, like we should also say that in Vancouver, the vast majority of Chinese Canadians do not live anywhere near Chinatown.
No, definitely not. Definitely
there's whole
not.
Different areas definitely of the city yeah. that are like suburbs where they live.
Exactly.
Like Richmond, for example.
Exactly. Or, the wealthy, like the wealthy Chinese, the wealthy people from Hong Kong, wealthy people from the island, like we're nobody lives near Chinatown.
Well, so it's sort of a historical experience, yes. kind of cultural center rather than...
It's more like a cultural center. Yeah. And then usually when we go for... We're missing food from... Like, we're missing Chinese food. We're missing Hong Kong food. We will actually go to Richmond by the airport.
Yeah,
because, like, Richmond
right.
is basically Hong Kong town. It's, like, full of, I mean, immigrants from Hong Kong.
Well, and that's... Actually, that's yeah. kind of what we end up talking about today in Las Vegas, where it's, like, not a historical Chinatown. It's, like, some Asian people flew to Las Vegas and decided to build, like, an Asian area.
Yes, and these are ABCs.
Yeah,
like
so
we'll be talking about a lot of ABCs who uprooted themselves from California. We'll go dive into that a little bit later
so
why they're uprooting themselves.
But that's kind of like Vancouver.
Yeah. Yes.
Like there's that area down by the airport which was intentionally sort of developed as maybe not intentionally as like an Asian area.
Right.
But it
just
ended up with
becoming
Asians there and Asian stores. And so
exactly.
if you want to get some bubble tea,
that's where you head. Richmond
head
Center.
Don't head to
Richmond.
Old Chinatown.
Yeah, and all that great dim sum and Cantonese food. Oh, I miss that. Like probably the best Cantonese food, one of the best places outside of Asia that you can get out in the West is definitely Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver has incredible Cantonese food.
But if you're looking for, you know, traditional Chinese medicine and exotically flavored baozi, go to Old Chinatown.
Go to Old Chinatown.
Yeah.
It's downtown.
Yeah. Okay. Cheap haircuts.
Cheap haircuts, too. Yeah. Cheap fruit, cheap vegetables. Okay.
It's
we'll
great,
have to
great
get.
Great place.
Yes. Great place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't
Simon.
Let Rebecca's negativity sour you on Old Chinatown in Vancouver.
That's right.
It's a definite, it actually is a definite must-see if you are a visitor to Vancouver, because that Sun Yat-sen Garden is on like every tourist map.
Yes.
You know, it's a major tourist site.
And I also got to say, almost every Chinatown has some kind of Sun Yat-sen memorial.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the commonality.
Yeah.
If you go to Victoria, British Columbia, Victoria is known for the Bouchard Gardens. It's really beautiful. And Victoria also has a small Chinatown. Like Simon mentioned, it's from history. I mean, these were people, Chinese people who went to Canada and had very hard lives. So they had their own Chinatown in Victoria. And they also have a Sun Yat-sen memorial or something. Like in every Chinatown, there's a memorial of some kind to Sun Yat-sen.
Yeah.
That's a commonality.
So the moral of this story is do go to Old Chinatown if you're in Vancouver, but stay close to your tour group in case there's a crazy drug-addled white guy yelling at you.
That's right.
Like Rebecca.
Like Rebecca got yelled at, yes. Well, friends, let's start our article. Let's get into our first reading, and we'll be taking you to Las Vegas. We'll be going to the Chinatowns in Las Vegas.
Finding Luck in Las Vegas. The story of Las Vegas's Chinatowns. It used to be a Las Vegas hot tip. Go off the strip to Chinatown for the city's best food. Now, there's not just one Chinatown in Nevada's biggest metropolis, but two. And the prevailing wisdom counsels late-night oxtail soup at the California Hotel, an off-strip spot catering to Hawaiians, who are so populous in the city that they call it the Ninth Island. Or a sushi roll called the Japanese lasagna, Korean corn dogs, and affordable izakayas in the city's more suburban Chinatown area in Spring Valley. The culinary renaissance is just the most visible part of a major migration of Asian Americans to Las Vegas that has tripled the community's population since the year 2000. Clark County's AAPI, Asian American and Pacific Islander population, Pan-Asian, and majority foreign-born, has an unusual demographic profile. Filipinos are the most numerous group, but there are also significant and growing populations of Korean, Chinese, Vietnamese, Indian, and Hawaiian people. Asian Americans are changing the taste and sights and smells of the city in a way that is a reimagination of Las Vegas, beyond the strip and the buffets, said Constancio Arnaldo, an Asian American studies professor at the University of Las Vegas.
Well, friends, we take you to Las Vegas. And Las Vegas, it says, go off the strip to Chinatown for the city's best food. Well, first of all, Simon, what's the strip?
The strip, kind of in the context of Las Vegas, it refers to the main road that has all the casinos on it and the big hotels.
Yeah. Yes, and that's like, yeah, all the big hotels are on the strip. And I think that's where the F1 races in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is one of two cities in the world that have a nighttime circuit. You race at night for F1, and they race down the strip. To Chinatown for the city's best food, but it's interesting. Las Vegas doesn't have one Chinatown. It has two.
Yeah, It's true.
And when we're talking, usually we think of going off the strip to Chinatown for the best food. Usually you'd be talking about the old Chinatown. So here it says the prevailing wisdom, it counsels late night oxtail soup at the California Hotel. So the prevailing wisdom, that just means what everybody knows. They considered this to be general knowledge.
That said, though, Chinese food has a unique kind of role that I think most people in Asia don't recognize. Like it's very, there's a lot of carbohydrates, you know, like noodle, rice, fried rice, dumplings, stuff like that.
Right.
There's a lot of carbs in there, right?
So like it's
starches.
Comfort food.
Well, but then the thing is, you can get huge amounts for a relatively low amount of money.
Okay.
And so like if you are hungry, Chinese food is almost always like the option where you're going to get the best bang for your buck. Like you think about those Chinese buffets that are everywhere, right? Chinese takeout.
Right.
Like there's a reason that people gravitate towards that. It's because it's really good value for money.
Yeah. That's
like you
actually
get a
really,
lot of rice
yeah, so you
when
get
you
a
get fried rice.
A lot of fried rice.
Yeah.
You get a lot of noodles if you get fried noodles. Yeah. And it's very good price. Like compared to, like, for example, Western food.
So this isn't just conventional wisdom for Las Vegas. This is basically true in every small town in North America. Like if you want to really eat a lot of food and you don't have, you know, huge amounts of money, Chinese food's a pretty good bet.
Yes. Very good pro tip. If you're trying to save money and you have a huge appetite, Chinese food is often a good bet. But it just might not taste like what you're accustomed to here in Asia. Because a lot of times
it's not bad, though, right?
It's not bad. Like, it's just different.
Yeah, it's just different.
It's just different because they change the taste. It's kind of like here, like when you go for Thai food is not the same food that you have in Thailand. Thai food here is all altered. Indian food, too. Like I was in a restaurant the other day, and I thought I would get real Indian food. And I was so devastated. They had Indian chef. But the Indian chef was cooking some kind of strange Indian food that had been completely modified to the local palate.
It's like you're just being traumatized time after time every time you visit these places.
So basically, I end up trying not to go to these ethnic food here because a lot of times they change the taste so much that it makes me want to cry. I really wanted to cry at the Indian restaurant. So, but there are good Indian places here in town, though. But let's get back to Las Vegas.
There's two Chinatowns.
So one of the Chinatowns here, they're talking about all the different places in the city where you can get like all sorts of Asian food, right? Like there's one place catering to Hawaiians. Hawaiians are not really Asian, but we'll talk about the classification later, which
That's
is
right.
interesting. We don't consider, like out here in Asia, we don't think Hawaiians are Asian. But there is a reason we're going to talk about Hawaiians later. And there's so many Hawaiians in that part of the town, they call it the Knife Island. And they have a sushi roll called the Japanese lasagna that is just strange.
Yeah, just for context there.
Right.
So they have, we're teaching the word prevailing wisdom there, which is kind of like common knowledge.
Right.
Right? Like a thing everybody kind of accepts as true, regardless of whether or not it has been recently proven. Prevailing just means like the dominant thought.
Yes, what everyone thinks.
And then the other thing there is that with reference to the Ninth Island, there are eight Hawaiian islands.
Good point.
So they're basically saying like there are so many Hawaiians now in Nevada that it's kind of like it's part of Hawaii.
Interesting. Yeah, the Knife Island. But we know Nevada has no islands, right? It's completely landlocked.
There's
no ocean anywhere close to Nevada. Well, they might have fake lakes. Some of the big hotels might have fake lakes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But and then they get into the Asian food, which is, like you were saying, it's not the same, but it's still good.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously lasagna is an Italian kind of meat, cheese, pasta dish. Pasta. Yes. If you were American, I suppose.
Pasta.
Mm-hmm. Pasta. But this is like a Japanese style.
Yes.
So it's a fusion, meaning it's been put together from different cultures. The same thing with corn dogs, which are a very, very American food. But Korean corn dog, I imagine it has like kimchi flavoring or something like that. And then they mention these affordable izakayas.
Yes.
Now, I didn't know about this, but I asked Teacher Garrett this morning, do you know what these things are?
Well, they are we call it the beer houses in Chinese. Like the beer houses where, you know, you can get beer and a lot of really cheap food. Like, they're all over Japan. They're fantastic.
Garrett described it as Japanese tapas.
Japanese tapas.
Yeah, yeah. You know those like bars that have like small foods?
Right.
Kind of like a light buffet.
Right.
That's
what
he sort of said. Like,
well, it is kind of like
meat on a stick.
Yeah. He's kind of right, because they're all appetizers, and that's where people in Japan, that's where people go after work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a lot of the socializing is done at the izakayas. And so what we're trying to say here is we move on to the next paragraph, and the culinary renaissance. Well, what a way to describe this. Culinary, anything to do with food. The renaissance, of course, this is like the renaissance period. When was the renaissance period? About the 1600s?
Earlier.
Yeah. Earlier, 1500s.
1500s, yeah.
Okay, and that's the great renaissance, the great revival in art and architecture and literature that we had in Italy and in Europe. And this culinary renaissance, what is it a sign of?
Well, they're saying it's the most visible part of a major migration. And then they get into the terms again, so we're going to have to discuss what the difference between these ethnic labels are.
Let's talk about this term. Like, for us Canadians, we find it kind of funny.
Well, you know, for me, the vast majority of my interaction with Asians has been in Asia.
Okay.
You know, because I come from like rural Canada. So, you know, there was like a Chinese restaurant in my hometown, you know. But it wasn't run by Chinese people. It was run by like Vietnamese people, you know. So it's like I was familiar with what Asians were.
Right.
I knew a bunch of Chinese Canadians, but they were like not recent immigrants. They would have either been very historical families or Hong Kong Chinese.
Right.
So again, kind of like a different thing.
Right.
And so for me, this is all kind of befuddling too.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know.
We have this really interesting classification, and this is usually for the census. What is a census? A census is when the government counts its people. It counts its people to see how many people they have and, you know, what's the age of the people, what kind of ethnicities they are. In the U.S., they do that once every 10 years. So here we have Clark County. This is in Las Vegas. They have, like, that's the area where Las Vegas is in. Clark Counties, we have a funny term we'll see throughout today. AAPI, Asian American and Pacific Islander. So this is interesting.
Yeah.
So basically,
we're going to see all kinds of terms. Like, we just jumped over Asian American without the Pacific Islander.
Yes.
So that, I would say that's kind of an older designation. But I mean, I think what you have to think about here is how we talk about like white people.
Exactly.
But
the non-whites. We're talking about the non-whites
right
now. Yeah,
in my experience growing up, they're like, nobody ever said white people.
Right.
Because they identified by their own ethnicity. So, for example, they'd be like Scottish Canadians or German Canadians or like an Italian family or whatever.
Right.
So this is another one of those sort of constructed terms you mentioned for the census, where you put, I suppose it's mostly East Asians, right? Because they have sort of a separate.
But also South Asians.
It does include,
It does. So South Asians are the Indians, the Pakistanis, the Bangladesh people. They're included under Asian American, which in Canada we completely separate.
Yeah,
them.
We say South Asians.
Yeah, so
for
I find it interesting because I looked up the U.S. Census, and these are the categories they have: American Indian or Native, Asian, Black or African American, Hispanic or Latino. This is Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander and white. So that's also different classification. There's just so many different ways to classify
people. And if you don't belong
to
one of those, you just have to check other.
Yes, there's always an other box. So all of this we're talking about is demographics. So what is demographic? Demographic is just part of a population that is considered a group. Usually we divide them by ethnicity.
Yeah,
so that's the demographics.
It's kind of a catch-all.
Yes.
So there's some advantages to that, I suppose.
Yes.
In that, you know, for example, like if you're, you know, Taipei City and you find yourself in Las Vegas and you're looking for some familiar foods from home and you go into, you know, a Vietnamese-owned store, you'll find things that are more familiar than you would in a Piggly Wiggly, which is like an American Southern brand of grocery store, right?
Right.
So there's sort of, there's some advantage to grouping more similar peoples and cultures together, but there's also like disadvantages. And so you'll notice that all kinds of different terms are used in here. Like,
we can do a whole radio program just on the terms. Like, I really wish we had more time.
Well, they go on to name the different communities here, actually, right? They say Filipinos are the most numerous group, but there are also growing populations of Koreans, Chinese, Vietnamese, Indian, and Hawaiian people. So each of those you would just tag American on the back.
Yes.
Filipino Americans, right? Vietnamese Americans, et cetera, and all of those people fall into this broader group of Asian American and Pacific Islander. Even though if you look at the extremes there, you know, you're not going to confuse Indian food and Korean food.
No.
Right?
They're quite different. Yeah.
They're
distinct. Actually kind of interesting they include the South Asian under Asian American. It's like in Canada, we consider it completely separate category.
That could
category.
Be because of the history, though.
Yeah.
Right.
We have a longer history of interaction. And we also have a very big South Asian population in many parts of Canada.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue the second part of the article, our second reading, and we will be talking about this big move to Las Vegas, this Asian American move to Las Vegas.
A big part of the traffic coming into Chinatown is coming from California, said Catherine Francisco, president of the Nevada AAPI Chamber of Commerce, herself a former Californian. Nevada has no state income tax, and its property tax is less than half the national average. That draws wealthy residents hoping to keep more of their capital, but also those looking for a larger house, cheaper rents, or lower business startup costs. Old versus new. Las Vegas's Chinatowns might look familiar to those who spent time in the Chinese neighborhoods of Los Angeles. The old Chinatown, west of the Strip, looks more traditional, neon-lighted, and fronted with an ornate entry arch. The newer Asian community in the Spring Valley neighborhood looks more like the San Gabriel Valley. Dense developments with vast parking lots cluster on a few main boulevards just off the 215 freeway in the southwestern part of town.
Well, who is coming to Nevada? Simon, we have a lot of Asian Americans moving to Nevada, right?
I think, first of all, there's like probably a lot of people moving to Nevada from California
and
of all types.
Let's talk about this. Why are people moving to California? Moving from California, isn't California like the dream state?
Well, I mean, the main notes they make here are that Nevada has no state income tax, so the taxes are lower, and its property tax is less than half. Now, in, you know, the city where I live here, on the island, property tax is so low that you almost wouldn't notice it.
Right.
But that is probably unsustainable over the long term. Like in the United States in particular, but also in other Western countries, probably the vast majority of local services are paid for by property taxes. So they're quite high. Like you'd be looking at...
So we're talking about like water and garbage,
even
disposal.
Services?
Yeah, all the services is all the things that keep a city running, right?
Fire department, road maintenance, police, everything's paid for
by property tax. Taxes in Canada increase every year.
Yeah, and in the U.S., schools are also paid for by property taxes. So that's why there's variation in the U.S. from good neighborhoods where taxes are basically generating more revenue. They can spend more on education than in poorer areas. But nonetheless, I mean, you'd be looking at, you know, if you had a house that was worth, say, half a million U.S. dollars, you probably would be looking at somewhere anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000, $5,000 a year in property tax. $5,000 would be very high.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a lot of money if you convert that into like a local currency
compared to
what we pay.
So this is why like places like Nevada is so attractive, right?
Well, and so what they say there is basically people can afford a larger house while paying, you know, less or the same amount in tax. So you can get more for your money if you move to Nevada, basically is the idea. And so it's drawing people who, you know, either want to, what they say here is wealthy people who want to keep more of their money, their capital, or people who are looking for, you know, a good place to start because they're not going to be losing as much money.
So if you want a new place to start over, this is a good place to go. So among the many migrants are Asian Americans.
That's right. So they say a big part of the traffic coming into Chinatown, and that's actually a quote here. So what the person is kind of alluding to is the idea that there's like a stream of cars heading to Chinatown, but they're not really talking about visitors here. They're talking about immigrants who are maybe not from outside the country, but from other places in the country that are moving to the state and the community and the area. So basically, people are moving to this Chinatown area and these developments within Las Vegas because of the taxes.
Because of the taxes. Yeah. And then let's hit on the Chinatowns before we end today's program. So in the last paragraph, we see Chinatowns is plural. So there's basically two Chinatowns, and there's the old Chinatown, which is west of the Strip, and that's, let's talk about old Chinatowns.
Well, it just looks like you'd think of when you think of Chinatown.
They always have a red arch, right?
You might even think about like temple architecture, they call it, where it's like yellow roofs, red pillars.
Yes, and there's always an ornate entry arch.
Yeah.
So ornate, something that's ornate, just covered of a lot of decoration. I usually think of dragons. There's always the dragons, just like on the temple. Yeah. There's always the dragons on a beautiful red arch that leads into Chinatown. Since this is Las Vegas, they also have neon lights because Las Vegas is famous for its neon lights. And then we also have a new Chinatown, right?
Yeah. And it's more like a development. They mentioned this area of California, San Gabriel Valley, which is basically an area where a lot of Asians live.
Yes.
And it's just like a suburb.
Yes, a suburb of LA.
A development with some different shopping areas and stuff.
Yeah. So we'll be talking a lot about the new development tomorrow on our program. But for today, we have to end today's program. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Simon.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.